Perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, you are amongst those people who have never read the Bible for themselves, never taken the opportunity so to do. People tell me it's still the best seller in all the world, but maybe you don't have one. We'd like to take this opportunity of offering you a, well, it's an extract from the Bible entitled Mark's Gospel, offered to you freely and without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours take and do with as you will. But it is God's Word. It's a good introduction to the Bible and gives you a flavor, you know, of what the whole Bible is about. And of course, that's the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one whom we're here to tell you about this afternoon. Some people, they make the mistake, you know, of thinking that the Bible's about religion, when in fact it's not. It's about Jesus, the Son of God, beginning to end, start to finish, golden thread that weaves its way through the entirety of the Bible is Jesus. Christ died for the ungodly. That's the gospel in the words of the Bible itself. Christ, you see, a person, not a religion. And what did he do? He died. Died on a Roman cross some 2,000 years ago. And who did he die for? He died for the ungodly. Men and women, contrary to God in their natures and in their practice. But you like to have a copy of Mark's Gospel, it's offered to you, no charge, no cost, no obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. You'd like one, come and ask for one. The Bible tells us of the great provision that God has made for humankind, the entirety of the human race, and the offer of God's grace. Well, it's still open today, as it's been from the very, very beginning. The Bible, it says this is the word of God. For what the law, God's law that is, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Word of God, friends. Plan of salvation, if you like, condensed in just a few words. God sending his Son Jesus Christ into the world in order that men and women, such as yourself and myself, that we might be saved, and that from a certain and known danger, the enemy within our own sinful and our own deceitful and wicked hearts. It is, if you like, an outline of the glorious salvation that God has provided. No need to. God is totally and completely sufficient in himself. No need of you. No need of me. No need of any creature at all. And of course could have been justified in sweeping the entirety of the human race into the damnation of hell without thought and without any provocation whatsoever. But God, in his goodness, in his kindness, in his mercy, has provided us with a salvation through his own Son, Jesus Christ, the one who came willingly, voluntarily, who came, who loved and lived and died, and rose again from the dead, that this salvation, this rescue, might indeed be yours. And of course it is by faith, and faith alone, the Bible tells us, by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. This, of course, is the Reformation watch cry. By the grace of God alone, the kindness of God, goodness of God, the undeserved favor of God. God, He imparts His grace to whosoever He pleases to. It's not of man that runneth, man that willeth. It's not of man at all. It's not of the flesh, but of God who shows mercy. We are, each and every one of us, shut up to the goodness, kindness, and mercy of God, unless He commands the light to shine upon you. You remain and you live and die and go out of this world in the same way in which you came in your sin, born conceived in sin. But God's Son came into the world to effect this salvation, and that He has done by His atoning death on the cross. 2,000 years ago, the Son of God bled and died on a Roman cross. Ah, oh, but you see, thousands of men did that 2,000 years ago. Sure they did, but only one who was the Son of God, only one who was an appointed Savior, only one who was dying, who did not deserve to die, and only one who was dying for others, and dying, of course, for the ungodly, those who are contrary to God in their very natures as well as in their practice. But Jesus has accomplished this salvation. It has been done. He has made peace by the blood of His cross. And that peace is there to be received, but must be willingly, consciously, deliberately, in faith, by yourself, in order to appropriate it. By faith, you see, the Bible makes it clear, not by works. By faith, and by faith alone, is a person, a man, a woman justified before Almighty God. Only by faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, is God's command, and His promise attached to it is, and thou shalt be saved. Jesus, you see, He accomplished what the law of God, the commandments of God, could not do. He accomplished what all the religion in the world cannot do. Oh, you can become religious very easily. You don't need my help. You don't need God's help for that. Just go to the synagogue, the mosque, the temple, take your pick. But religion will not save you, justify you, make you right before God. Only the Son of God, through faith in His name, can do that. No, the law, the works of men. I mean, what could you and I, what could we possibly offer to God? I mean, all that we are, God says, is walking, breathing, talking sin. A lump of sin. That's all that you are. And everything that we do and say and think is tainted with sin. So therefore, anything that we would seek to offer to God, in terms of works, religious or otherwise, good deeds towards your fellow human beings, would be of no account, none whatsoever. All is tainted, all is spoiled because of our sinful natures, because of our sinful practices. Everything that we do is tainted with sin. So the law, you see, the commandments of God, of course you'll know them, will you not? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is the God of the Bible, the true and living God, the one that you know exists and I know exists, the one that everybody knows exists. When a child is born, before it knows anything else, it knows that God is. God has made it clear, manifest to you. He has showed it to you, He says, And he says that you even clearly understand that God is. But the problem is that in our unbelief, the problem is in our sinful and corrupt natures, we hold down that truth, the truth of the knowledge of God. We hold it down in unrighteousness because we love our sin, because you do not want there to be a God, because you love your sin. God says you won't come to the light. You got this passionate love affair going with sin. You love the stuff. And that's why, says God, that you will not come to the light. That is, to the light of the world, to Jesus, the one who would save you from the consequences of your sin. So you see, the law could not do this. It takes the grace of God. It takes the grace of God in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who did the business, the one who came, the one who lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead. The law couldn't do what he did, what he accomplished. He accomplished salvation. Keeping of the law does not remove the guilt of your sin. I mean, even were you to say, well, from today, I will resolve to keep God's commandments. I'll keep them all, every one of them. And I'll do it to absolute strictness and perfection. Well, just imagining for a moment that you could.
Jesus doesn't exist then.
What?
Jesus doesn't exist.
The Bible says he does.
The Bible's wrong.
No, it's not. It's the truth. It's the truth.
No, it's been proven.
It's the truth. No, no, it doesn't. It doesn't, no.
It has.
No.
It has. Jesus was the
no.
No.
No
such thing.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong, madam. You know that he exists. Repent and believe the gospel, madam. You don't want them to exist for the same reason that the thief doesn't want there to be a policeman. But I've got bad news for you. If you're a thief, there are policemen. And I've got good news for you. If you call yourself an atheist, there is a God, and he's good, he's kind, and he's forgiving. But just supposing for a moment you could attempt at least to keep God's commandments, you know, that wouldn't remove the guilt of your sin. The law does not have the efficiency to remove the guilt of sin. You've broken the law, God's law that is, you've broken it every single day and every hour of your life. Every single one of those 10 commandments have been broken, have been trashed underfoot by each and every one of us. We're born, we're conceived in sin. We have sinful natures. We have natures that are biased away from God and biased towards sin, in love with sin, desiring sin, passionately in love with sin. That's why you break God's commandments. And every time that you do, you incur the guilt. We're guilty to a man, to a woman. None righteous, says God. Not a single one. All guilty before God. This is God's indictment. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, you see, friends, even though were you to seek to try to keep the commandments of God, the law of God, and you couldn't because you're still a rebel, it would not take away the guilt of your sin. Only what Jesus, only what the Son of God did, only what God did in sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to do, that is to condemn sin, that is to destroy sin by the shedding of his blood on the cross. Only the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, can remove the guilt of your sin. God's commands could never do that. They were never designed to do that. Only the atonement of Jesus Christ made on Calvary's cross. So, guilt, you see, remains. And then, of course, it cannot remove the impurity from your soul. Because, you see, law-breaking, sin, defiles us, makes us unclean. Our righteousnesses, God says, are like filthy rags. That's the best of your deeds. That's the kindest of your actions. That's the best thing that you ever did. It's like a filthy rag in my sight, says God. Impure, you see. Sin defiles. It stains the soul, you know. And God is of purer eyes, he says. He tells us in his word, the Bible. He's of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, rebellion, sin, the uncleanness that it leaves, the stains that it leaves upon your soul. So you see, the law could not make you clean. The commandments of God, religion of any kind, cannot ever remove the guilt or remove the stain, the impurity from your soul. Only the soul cleansing blood of Jesus, God's Lamb. Prophet Moses said in the Old Testament, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. God himself, in sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, has provided us with the blood sacrifice, with the soul cleansing agent. Go into any shop here, store in the town of Stafford, and ask them for some commodity, supermarket, Sainsbury's, Tesco's, ask them for some commodity that'll wash and make your soul, make you on the inside pure and clean, and remove the dirt and the stain of sin. Well, of course, they'll laugh you out of the place. They'll tell you no such a thing exists. But it does. It does. God has provided it. And the agent is the blood of God's Son shed on the cross to wash you and make you clean. Oh, I ask you this afternoon, friends, have you been to Jesus? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing of your soul? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You have to be. Nothing else will remove the stain of impurity upon your soul. But keeping of God's commandments, the law, you know, works religion, that can never, never heal the alienation between you and God. You're separated, the Bible says. Your sins have separated between you and God. Your iniquities, your rebellion in which you were born, you see. Your natures, not just your actions, not just your thoughts and words. It's your very nature, you see. We're iniquitous by nature, rebels by nature. You come into the world with your fist, you see, in your Maker's face, right from the get-go. That's why Jesus says that a man must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God, in order to understand it. Never mind, enter into it. So you see, the nature has to be changed in order for you to enter God's kingdom. In order for you to be right with God, in order for that alienation to be healed, that breach between you and God. Well, the law, you see, can't heal that breach. The law can't, the commandments of God, religion of any kind, keeping of rules and regulations of any sort, cannot ever bridge that gap between you and God. You're alienated from your best good. You're alienated from God. You're alienated from His forgiveness. You're alienated from His kindness. You're alienated from His blessings. You're alienated from all that's wholesome and good and righteous. And you're alienated from heaven one day. If you're not born again, the time is coming, the day is coming, when you'll wish you had never been born at all. So you see, friends, you must, as Jesus says, you must be born again in order for that alienation to be healed between you and God. Only God, sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, could accomplish that. You see, the law, the keeping of commandments, works religion. All this and more could never accomplish such as this. And it cannot, of course, it cannot prevent the infliction of the penalty. You see, there's a penalty attached to sin. God would have you to know this, that the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, whom I declare to you here this afternoon. But that sin's wages, friends, it has a penalty. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this comes the judgment. There's a payback time. We're all accountable. We're all naked and exposed before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We live in a day and generation when people think that they're accountable to no one. Not to the state, the government, not to the police, the courts, or anybody. I can just do what I want, you know, with impunity. Well, I tell you, you can't. There is a day of accountability, and you know it as well as I do. You know it in your heart of hearts that there is. You know that there's that somehow or another, you know, deep in the recesses of your heart, you know that you're going to have to give account for the things that you do, say, and think. And I know this how. I know it from God's Word. But I know it from human experience. I know it because you judge other people. You pick up your newspaper and you read about some horrific crime against a child or against a woman. And you say, that man ought to be judged. That man ought to be locked up. That man ought to be hung, drawn, and quartered. You judge other people. So where did you get that sense of judgment from? You got it from the God who made you in his own image. The God who is the judge of all the earth and who will one day bring you to judgment. So you can try to keep the commandments of God. You can try to be good. You can work at being good. You can become religious. But that just will not work. It won't remove the penalty. Because the penalty of God's law hangs over you like the sword of Damocles, waiting to fall upon you at any divinely appointed moment when God removes you from this earth. Friends, there's only one thing, only one person who can remove the sword of God's justice that hangs over you, and that's the Son of God. God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin, destroy sin, to pay the penalty for sin. He paid the penalty in full. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. And the wrath, the full wrath of God was poured out upon the Son of God. So that men and women such as yourself and myself could be reconciled to God, free from the punishment, the penalty of the law. When you believe, when a man or woman believes in Jesus, your sins are laid upon the Son of God. Don't ask me to explain the mechanics. I cannot. I only know this, that 2,000 years ago, God took my sin and laid it on his Son. And I'm free from the judgment of God, free of the penalty of sin. He's paid it all in full for me. I'm a free man. Jesus did. He accomplished what the law of God, commands of God, works religion, works of any kind, could not do. God sending his Son, that's what accomplished it. That's where the efficiency of the gospel is. And believe me, the gospel is efficient. Very, very efficient, because everybody who comes to Jesus in the way of repentance and faith, I tell you, the guilt is removed, the penalty is removed, the stain is removed, and the alienation from God is healed. Come out from amongst them, says God. and be ye separate, and I will be a father to you. Not just a God, but I will be a father to you, and I will receive you. If that is, you receive by faith the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave himself for them. So you see, the institute, it means, you see, and the author, you see, is God. God sending his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, it's God's doing, God's plan, you see. God devised it. Yeah? From the beginning, way before the beginning, before he even created the world, all this was mapped out and planned by God, that he would send his Son in time into the world and to do exactly what he did perfectly in living and loving and dying and rising again from the dead. That a sinner such as you, a rebel on the run from God, a denier of the very existence of God, a denier of the very existence of your sin, which is in your face day by day, to save you, deliver you from your sin and its consequences, its wages, its death, its eternal death. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, much, much more than just simply physical death. Oh, that surely is included, for we must all die. No one will argue with that statistic, surely. It is appointed unto man once to die. A divine appointment, friends. You got an appointment with the dentist, the doctor, the hairdresser. Pick up the phone, send an email, cancel it, postpone it, do as you will. But this is a divine appointment. There's a decade, there's a year, there's a month, there's a day, there's an hour, there's a moment marked on God's calendar when you will breathe your last. And you will not cancel it. You will not postpone it by one single moment. You will go out of the world feet first, the way you came in your sin, naked. And friends, that death will rush you into the presence of a sin-hating and holy God. That is, if you've not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That is, if you've not been born again. That is, if you've not repented and believed the gospel. But God sent his Son into the world that you might be saved from that consequence. This is the plan, God's way of salvation. And sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin, destroy sin, save you from sin. And his consequences, the death, the physical death, but friends, the eternal death, the lake of fire, the second death. Oh, there's something, believe me, there's something to be saved from. The wrath of God is already being revealed against all your ungodliness and unrighteousness. But oh, dear friends, that day, the great day of the Lord, when the fulsome, when the consummate wrath of God will be poured out upon sinners who have rejected the Son of God, who have rejected the salvation of God, who have rejected the provision of God. God is sending his Son into the world, you see. He has instituted the means, and this is the means, this is the only means by which a person can be made right with God, justified before the Almighty God. And the agent, of course, is his Son. No other, you see. You reject the Son of God, and you reject God himself. You reject the Son of God. You reject the salvation of God. You reject the blessings of God. Only through the Son of God, the one whom the Bible declares to be Lord, a Prince and Savior in Israel. He is the Son of God, and he has proved to be so by the power of his resurrection from the dead. There's no question about it. Jesus Christ is Lord, not Buddha, not Confucius, not Muhammad. Why is Jesus Christ Lord? Because he conquered sin and death and hell. Because he's alive from the dead and alive forevermore. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why he's Lord. And friends, for that reason alone, you ought to bow the knee to King Jesus. Humbly, with your face in the dust, crying out to him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There is no other God but Jesus Christ. He is the only and true God. And he's the agent in God's salvation. God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh in order that you might be saved. And his commission, you see, he was sent by his Father. He was commissioned by his Father, you see, to work out our salvation, to do for us what the law couldn't do, what God's commandments couldn't do, what religion can't do. He was commissioned to do it, you see. He was sent, you see, to accomplish salvation. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Because his name means salvation, Savior. And he came to accomplish that great salvation, and he has accomplished it all. He's done all things well. He's done everything perfectly. He cried in dying on the cross, it is finished. He cried in triumph, it's done. And friends, there's nothing left for you and I to do. Work. How much work do you have to do in order to be right with God? How much commandment keeping in order to be right with God? How long do you have to do it for? How long do you have to live in order to get right with God? I tell you, could you live 2,000 years, 2 million years, and keep God's commandments? They would never save you, deliver you from your sin and from the wrath to come. No, friends, Jesus Christ was commissioned by his Father to come into the world, and he came. Jesus so loved the world that he came to deliver, to provide salvation for those who are lost and blind and naked and hopeless and broken, oppressed and chained by sin, by Satan the devil. No, friends, the form that Jesus assumed was the likeness of sinful flesh, the likeness. He was without sin, the perfect Son of God. But he looked, if you saw him walking the streets, you'd have thought he's just a man like all other men. He's just a sinner like all other sinners. That's what you'd have thought. It's an amazing thing, the Son of God. He created the world, the universe, everything. Without him was nothing made that was made. It was all made for him and by him. And he was in the world. And listen, friends, the world did not recognize him. They thought he was just another guy, just another sinful man. But he wasn't. He was the Son of God. He was God the Son, commissioned by his Father, sent by his Father, to live a perfectly blameless life, undefiled, unspotted by sin. And that's what qualified him to go to the cross and die for others. To die for people like you and I. That when we put our trust in Jesus, in the way of repentance, when we put our trust in Jesus, God forgives. You see, God removes the guilt and the stain, the impurity. He removes the alienation. He embraces us, you see, in love. God so loved. God so loved, you see. He so loved a sinner like you that he went to sending his Son, commissioning his Son to be a Savior. And of course, in the likeness of sinful flesh. And the work that was given to him was to destroy sin, to condemn sin. You see, the Bible tells us, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus says, I did not come to condemn, I came to save. Jesus does not have to condemn you. I don't have to condemn you. You're already condemned. This is the condemnation, says God, that you have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. That's the condemnation. Nobody needs to condemn you. You're already there. But the condemnation needs to be lifted. You need to be delivered from it. And the only person who can deliver you from it is Jesus Christ. And that's what he did in dying on the cross and shedding his blood by his atoning death. You know what to do with your sin? You know when your conscience kinks in one day? You know, maybe your conscience ain't working too good. Maybe your conscience has never been educated by God's Word, the Bible. I recommend Bible reading to you. It'll inform your conscience, if nothing else. Might even awaken it. But I tell you this, friend, your conscience, one day, it will be awakened. Albeit in the day of judgment, but I hope before then that you might repent and believe the gospel. But you know what to do, you know where to go when your conscience is awakened, when it begins to sting, when the skeletons in the cupboard start to rattle. Do you know where to go? Well, some people, they go to the bottle, they go to the booze, they try to drown it. Some go to the drugs, legal and illegal. Anything to numb the conscience, anything to remove the sense of guilt. But friends, that's no way to deal with a guilty conscience, I tell you. There's only one thing to do with it. And that's to put it beneath the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only remedy for a guilty conscience, a lasting remedy. But that's what he came to do. That's what was given him to do, to condemn sin in the flesh, to destroy sin. And you put by faith, you take your sin and you put it beneath the blood of God's Son, and it will be destroyed, obliterated. God says he'll remember it no more. He'll blot it out as with a thick cloud. He'll remove it as far as the east is from the west. He'll bury it in the deepest sea that you could never find it again, that not even God could find it again. And especially so on the day of judgment. Oh, friends, Jesus, he is the instituted means of salvation. Not the law, not keeping commands, not your works. By the works of the flesh shall no man ever be justified, says God. Not by anything that you can do. And certainly not by any idolatrous religious practice. Contrary to the Bible, I mean. So you see, God's intention in sending Jesus, in sending his Son into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh, that sinners might be justified from all things by which they could not be justified by the law, the commandments of God. To justify somebody or something is to make it right. To justify a person is to make them right. To make them righteous before God. Well, the righteousness of God, the Bible tells us, has been revealed. You see, where? In the gospel. In the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, coming into the world, dying and rising again from the dead. To justify ungodly sinners. To justify rebels, to make them right, because we need to be made right, because we're not right, we're unrighteous, to a man, to a woman, born in sin. Oh, I know that some of you deem yourselves to be good people, I ask some of you, and you tell me, well, I'm a good person, you know? God ought to accept me, God ought to allow me into heaven. And I say, why? And you say, because you're a good person. Really? You want to take that goodness and measure it against the law of God? read those commandments for yourself. No other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill by means of abortion, euthanasia, or anything else in between. Adultery covers every form of sexual immorality known to you. And then some more. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The blasphemy of your lips. A good person. Only God is good, says Jesus. There's none good, says God. No, not one. None who seeks after God altogether become unprofitable. There's none good. No, not one. That's God's indictment. So there goes your goodness. There goes your imaginary goodness. There goes your ticket to heaven. Friends, you need more. You need more than your perceived goodness in order to get to heaven. You need the goodness of God in providing you with a salvation and a Savior such as Jesus. You need the Son of God. That was God's intention in sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, that through Him you might be saved. The sinners might be made truly righteous. Righteous in Jesus through trusting in His righteousness. You see, friends, we're all of us, every single one of us, lawbreakers, sinners. And we can't be mended. We can't be made righteous through keeping rules, regulations, religious ones or otherwise, by keeping the law, trying to keep the law of God. No, friends, only through Jesus, only through His perfect righteousness, because you see, He fulfilled the law of God unto absolute perfection. He kept it absolutely perfect. And the person, you see, who trusts in Jesus, His perfection is credited by God to them. What a deal! What a deal! Salvation through faith in the Son of God. Washed, cleansed from your guilt and purity, saved from your alienation from God, and made utterly and absolutely righteous in the eyes of God. That's God. That was God's intention in sending Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh, in order that sinners might be turned from their idols, turned from their worthless living, turned from their empty lives to serve the living God. For that's the very purpose for which you were made. Made in the image of God, to glorify and to enjoy God forever. But you can't glorify, and you certainly can't enjoy somebody that you don't know. And here's the trouble, friends. Jesus is coming again with His holy angels, the Bible says, in flaming fire, to take vengeance upon all those who do not know God and obey not the gospel. It's the knowledge of God that you see, that you need in relationship, not religion. Relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. God's intent is sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, that you might know God, that you might know Jesus, that you might know eternal life, that you might be right with God, that your alienation from God might be healed, made truly righteous, and brought to serve the true and living God, and fulfill your purpose in being made, in serving God, instead of serving sin, instead of serving the enemy of God, Satan. Because it's a certain fact, if you don't serve one, then you're going to serve the other. As old Bob Dylan used to sing, you got to serve somebody. If it's not the Lord, it'd be Satan or yourself. But But friends, that's not what you are made for. You are made to serve God, but you can't do that until you know Him. You can't do that until you've been born again. You can't do that until you've repented, changed your mind. You can't do that until you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are gifts from God. God alone can give them to you in His grace. But of course, you could ask. You could ask. You could seek. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. God assures you, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Jesus tells us, oh, the goodness of God to a fallen world. How precious, indispensable. Jesus, the Son of God, accomplished what the law could never do. What religion could never do. What keeping commandments could never do. What you could never accomplish yourself. God sent His Son Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh to accomplish that very thing. So how can you bypass Jesus? How can you say, well, I'll do it my way? How can you say, well, I don't need Jesus. I can do it myself, thank you very much. I can get by myself, I can cope. But you can't be saved. You can't be righteous. You can't go to heaven when you're finished on this earth. No, you can't. Not without Jesus. Not without His work. How indispensable the gift of God, grace, the gift of God, repentance, the gift of God, faith, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Gospel obedience, that's what's required of you. That you should repent, that you should believe the gospel, because the kingdom of God is at hand, that's why. And the only way that you're ever going to enter into it, those are the first steps, those are the first words of the gospel, given to us by Jesus Himself. Repent ye and believe the gospel, because the kingdom of God is at hand. So I call upon you, I beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Your greatest and your deepest need, man's greatest need in any day and generation, to get right with God, to find peace with God. Because there never will be peace in your world. Never will be peace in your hearts. Never will be peace in your lives until you are reconciled with God. But Jesus has done it all. He's accomplished everything given Him to do. That peace has been made. That reconciliation is there. But you must come to Him. You must turn away from your sin. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to know and to enjoy that glorious, wonderful peace of God that passeth all understanding. Gospel obedience, friends, that's where it begins. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like to have a copy of God's word? Take home with you. Read for yourself and see that these things are so. Word of God is offered to you free of charge, without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours take and do it as you will, but who knows?